I'm thankful you're here today. Whenever you have a chance to spend time alone or time with not much going on. Now, many of us have been very busy, you know, during this time of COVID-19. But all of us have had more family time or more available time, because you couldn't go out to restaurants, and you couldn't go to the gym, and you couldn't go, you just couldn't go do much. So you just came home. You had to be home, and you had to eat someplace, so that's about the only place you could eat. So it usually provided a little more home time. You could go by after a while and pick stuff up, but you just still spent more time. You had to eat at someplace, and you didn't want to eat in your car. And so we get a chance to think about things a little bit. And, you know, what difference does your life make is a great question. Now, it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80 today. If you got a mask on and you're breathing air, the Lord's still got something for you to do. And so what is it? Well, I just noticed in reading Daniel. Now, Daniel is my favorite Bible character. He's by far and away my favorite Bible character. And I'll tell you several reasons why. We're going to look at three of them this morning. But I want you to see that Daniel made a monumental difference in history. Notice, if you would, Daniel chapter 6, verse number 26. This is King Darius. The Medes and Persians, one of the greatest, it's a worldwide empire. You had Rome, you had Greece, and you got you got the Medes and the Persians. These are worldwide empire. They control the entire known world. Well, you'll notice, if you would, he says in verse 26, I make a decree. This is the law of the Medes and Persians. It can't be changed. And you remember up above it, you'll notice that that the king got tricked into making a rule that you couldn't pray for 30 days. If you did, you got thrown into the lion's den, and he tried to change it and couldn't. He got everybody together and tried to change it. And he said, you know, can't do it. He was displeased with himself. You'll notice that he, in verse 13, then they answered and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity, regardeth not thee, nor the king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. He's ignoring your law that you can't pray to a God other than you. Well, you'll notice what happens in verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He was going to go try to get the law, the lawyers together in the Supreme Court, and try to get a law passed real quickly. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him, but he could not, because the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be changed. So you'll notice in verse 26, I make a decree. He made a law that couldn't be changed for the Medes and Persians. And that is that in every dominion of my kingdom, everywhere the Medes and Persians, the empire went, he said, notice this, that they would tremble in fear at the God of Daniel. Not his God, but at the God of Daniel. Daniel made that kind of a difference. It would be wonderful if it's your place of work that you, by who you are and the way you are, made such an impact, because that's exactly what Daniel did. He didn't go around witnessing, he couldn't. But his person, his power of presence from the Spirit-filled life that he lived changed everybody. It affected everybody. It either made them get mad at him because they were jealous of his holiness and his righteousness, and they couldn't be like him because the Holy Spirit helped him to be like he was, and it wasn't of themselves, or they fell in love with him and said, I want to be like that. But it affected everybody. What effect are you having on your home? What effect are you having at work? Because all of us are here for that purpose, to make a difference. Are you accomplishing what God wants you to do today? Are you making a difference? Now, I want you to see, there's three things that I've noticed about Daniel that allowed him to be able to make this difference, to be able to affect an entire known world, to be able to affect the most important people in his country, to be able to affect people that he worked with. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 2, and after thee, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 provinces, princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So there was a structure, there was 120 of these provinces, and so they had leaders over them, and then there were three presidents that were over them, and then there was one over all of them, prime minister. That was Daniel. Now, I want you to notice something. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Psalm 75, the 75th Psalm. And I want you to notice, verse 4. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. Now here's where it gets important for our message. And to the wicked, lift not up your horn. You know what that's saying? He considers a prideful person, a person that does things in their own power and looks at themselves and says, look at me. Don't get your horn out and go, look at me. Notice he says in verse 5, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. The idea is, I don't look down at you. I'm proud. I'm better than you. Now, nobody in this room would go like this to people. But we might say, why are people not recognizing me? Why don't they notice what I have done? You know, I don't understand. There could be pride in all of us today. Notice verse 6, for promotion, becoming the chief president of the Medes and Persians. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So Daniel learned the lesson that down is up. Have we learned that lesson yet? Now, we're going to start with, number one, Daniel decided to trust the Lord early. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but if you look in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart. So there was a point in his life when he trusted the Lord as his Savior. Yahweh is his God, and he put his faith and trust in the Lord, and he believed it with all of his heart. In other words, he was on his way to heaven. He claimed God as his God. It was his God. And you'll notice even the king recognized it. In Daniel 6:26, he says, fear the before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. So everybody knew that Daniel loved the Lord, that Daniel's God was his God. So he made a decision early in life to trust the Lord with his life. Have you made that decision to trust the Lord? Doesn't matter if it's early or late. But today you need to trust the Lord to save you if you've not trusted the Lord. If you're watching on live stream and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord, Daniel did that. He did it early enough so that when Daniel 1:8 came, he had taken the next step and purposed in his heart. He said, I want to serve the Lord. I do want to please the Lord. Okay? So there's a decision that's made to trust Christ as Savior, and there's a decision to be made in the heart that I'm going to follow his way. You have to make both of those decisions for the Lord to begin to say, he's getting in the area where I can promote him. He's going the right direction. Not there yet, but he's going the right direction. Now, if you remember, Daniel purposed in his heart. So by that, he turned his life over to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm yours. Now, if I could pause for a minute, if you were in Sunday school, we looked at Isaiah 57:15, and it had two words in it. And it was a contrite heart, which that's a broken heart. It's a tender heart. It's where you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're sensitive to the things of God. And that's one of the reasons you've come to church today, is because you have a sensitivity to what God says. You have a sensitivity to what God commands, and so you come to church. Okay? But that tender heart can be taken away pretty quickly. Somebody does something to you and you get a bitterness about it, your heart gets hard quickly. So a tender heart, a contrite heart, is one that's broken into many pieces. It's one that feels everything for those people around it. You're very sensitive to the touch of God. A contrite heart. And in that passage, we learn that God dwells with that person. A person that lives in the presence of God. And folks, today, I wish I could get every one of you to purpose in your heart, I want to dwell. I want to live in the presence of the Lord. I want to be able to get up in the morning and know God is with me. I want to talk to him. I want it to be real. Now, step one, trust Christ as Savior. Decide that. Step two, decide I'm going to go the Lord's way. Now, folks, those two decisions make all the difference in life. They make a difference where you end up. Because if you decide to follow the Lord, I want to just follow the Lord, then you're going to end up in his presence at the end in heaven. And you'll have some blessings a part of that. Now, the amount of blessings will be determined on the other two, these other two things about Daniel. But I want you to notice, then there was another word, contrite, and then there was the word humble. And we're going to see Daniel was very humble. He didn't promote himself. If you have your Bible, notice with me if you would. Take your Bible in verse number, chapter 2, in verse number 30. In verse 28, remember, the king's had a dream, wants to know the answer to the dream. And now I want you to listen to this. He says, I've got a dream. And tell me if you can think of this, how good a deal this would be. I've worked my whole life to become one of the intelligentsia, one of the wise men in Medes and Persia. It's a lifetime job. I've got everything made. There's no issues at all. And all of a sudden, the king says, okay, all the wise men, come in here. I had a dream. And they say, okay, tell us the dream. He says, I forgot it. They said, okay, would you tell me what it means? Oh, you forgot the dream? You're not even going to tell us the dream, and you don't know what it means, and you want us to remember the dream for you? No king has ever asked that. And he says, in theory, if there's a God in heaven and you are close to him, you ought to be asked God for me and get my answer. And by the way, if you don't, you all die tomorrow. Oh, the word comes down. And Daniel and three Hebrew children, they get down and they begin to pray. Lord, would you let us have the answer so we could give it to the king? Lord, we'd like to not lose our lives, but Lord, we'd like to give him an answer to show him that there is a God. So notice verse 28. The Lord gives Daniel the answer. Now, the Lord doesn't give dreams and things like that to us today. But do you know why? The copy of the scriptures weren't complete. So they couldn't go to the scriptures and learn what God wanted. So God spoke through men and through dreams. But he doesn't anymore. Now notice, if you would, in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, this is a different king to Daniel. So every time Daniel lost his leader, he would rise to the top of the next leader. So he's taken captive, and he rises to the top to Nebuchadnezzar because God allows it. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 29, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealed secrets making known to thee what shall come to pass." And so he answers his questions, and he gives him the dream, and he interprets it. But notice what he says in verse 30. Keep in mind, we're looking at the word humble. "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." Do you see the humility here? God has given him the dream and the interpretation. He, with that, is going to spare all the lives of all the wise men. He is going to answer the king, and the king's going to consider him as someone great for the rest of his life. And he knows it, and he says, "Look, God didn't give me this answer because I'm somebody special." Now, we learned this morning that the word humble is tapana frasune, a bunch of words put together that means not rising very far from the ground. I am nobody. Unless the Lord fills me and uses me, I can do nothing eternal. I can do a lot of things in my own strength, but none of it's eternal. If you want to do something eternal, you've got to have the Holy Spirit fill your heart and do it His way. Jonathan's up here playing. He's doing something great for today. But it's not eternal. It's not going to come back and let him see it in heaven unless he does it for the Lord's sake. And the goal is, "Lord, this is for you. It's not in what I can do. Lord, you've given me the ability to play the violin, but Lord, it's not in me, it's in you." And then the Holy Spirit lifts Jonathan up and says, "Boy, Jonathan, you did a great job." And it's Jonathan's job to say, "Oh, wait a minute. It's not in me. It's him." Daniel had humility. And God said, "I can use that. I can promote that because he won't take the credit. He'll point them to me. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." What a humble servant. Now, I want you to understand that that's a decision. "Lord, I want to plead. I want to go your way." And then humbleness and a contrite heart and hard work and discipline and a love for the Lord, all those things are on the road, on the way to pleasing the Lord. But you got to choose that direction at some point in your life. And the longer you wait, the more reward you lose. 2 John verse 8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So you can labor all you want, play the violin, play the piano, preach, sing in the choir, do all you want to do. But there's no reward in heaven, and you will not make the difference that Daniel made in the lives of other people unless you decide, I want to trust the Lord as my Savior, and I want to choose His way. Because once you've chosen His way, you've purposed in your heart, then God begins to lay these things with humility and contrite heart and personal discipline and love for the Lord and a sweetness and a joy and peace. He begins to lay those things in the path of, "I purposed in my heart to do right and to go right with the Lord." And then the Lord blesses you, and people see that and say, "Wow, there's something different about him. He's honest. He wouldn't take a nickel." If you have your Bible, look, if you would, in chapter 6 of Daniel, verse number 2. "After these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. You know what that means? It means that Daniel was responsible for all the finances of Medes and Persians. And he was absolutely trusted. Why? He purposed in his heart. And integrity is one of the things on that road. You cannot be a great Christian without having integrity. You just can't be. In the eyes of the Lord, you can't be a great Christian unless you've got joy in your heart and please the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have a great appearance. You can use your great gifts. But if you're going to make an eternal difference, if you're going to affect the heart of the king, the heart of the president at your company, the heart of the vice president, the heart of the janitor, the heart of people that are around you, you've got to choose and say, I've purposed in my heart. You've got to decide. And then you've got to discharge the difficulties that come. You can't let all of the trouble along the way that the old devil throws in your path distract you from doing what's right. All of us are going to have that. You can make up your mind, I'm going to decide to do what's right. I'm going to purpose in my heart. And then the old devil says, okay, and in Daniel's position, Daniel apparently was one, his parents were well off. Maybe they were in the leadership of Israel. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes in with his people and they level Israel. They level Jerusalem, tear down the walls. They just destroy it. And you know what they do? They come in and they take all of the intelligentsia and they kill them all and they take their kids. And they try to turn their kids around to think like they do. So what they do is they give them new names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, after their gods. And they feed them with their foods. They train them in their schools, all for one purpose, to change their purpose, to change their direction, to where the Babylonians can use them. And they couldn't change the direction of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They just couldn't change the direction because they purposed in their heart. And they humbled themselves before God. And God says, I'm going to lift you up. And nobody can stop that. Promotion cometh neither from the east or the west or the north or the south, but God lifteth up. And we've got it all wrong. We think if I'm proud and lifted up and promote myself and everybody sees it and I use my talents that I've got, And like we said this morning in Sunday school, nobody's got any talents at all in this room unless God gave it to you. So you really got nothing. And you really look at it in the mirror, you are nothing. Now the world's going to say you're great. The world's going to say you can do anything. And God's going to say, no, until you're a tapa frasune, I can't use you. But then he begins to fill us up with his spirit, and we become like Moses. I can't talk. I can't do this. And he moved a nation of 1 million people out of Egypt because God lifted him up. And you got Daniel. He gets promoted with Nebuchadnezzar. He gets promoted with Belshazzar. And you know, another thing about Daniel is he's always facing trouble. Now, let me show you some trouble. If you have your Bible, turn me if you would. And turn me, if you would, to Daniel chapter number 20 of chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And you'll notice, if you would, Daniel has got to go back to Nebuchadnezzar. Now keep in mind, the first dream he tells him is a great blessing to him. But now he's got this dream now he finds out he's got to tell him is a difficult thing. Notice verse 4. Of Daniel 4:4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I'm rest in my home and I'm counting all my money. That's flourishing in my palace. I'm counting all my sheep. I'm counting all my cattle. I'm counting all my gold and silver. In verse 5, and I saw a dream which made me afraid. And he couldn't get an answer to it. Sure enough, here it comes again. Old Daniel walks in. And notice, if you would, Daniel has to tell him the dream. And the dream is that God's going to make you like an animal. He's going to humble you. And notice in verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. Here it is. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. Until you learn humility, Nebuchadnezzar. And so God even promotes and demotes worldly people. He's totally in charge. Now, can you imagine being Daniel? And Daniel gets to go in there and say, oh, king, guess what? You're proud, and God's going to humble you. And until you figure that out, God's going to put you in the field. Do you know what that would be? That's a death sentence. And so Daniel goes into the king, and with his humble, sweet, gracious nature, his great spirit, he says, oh, king, I'm sorry to tell you this. Notice if you would. Verse 27, see if you can get the heart of Daniel. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins of righteousness, thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility, you can have your peace if you'll just humble yourself and do the right thing. Daniel's pleading with him. He's got a soft heart. He didn't go in like Moses with the rod and say, thus saith God, throws it down. That's what Pharaoh needed. But God needed a humble servant right here. And by the way, Moses was a humble servant. The Bible says he was the meekest man on earth, humblest man on earth. So everywhere God looks, he says, if you want to dwell with me, you're going to have a humility not very far from the ground. I don't think of myself as important, except, Lord, you fill me with your spirit. And so Daniel had that. But everywhere he went, he was challenged. He had trouble everywhere. So then they make a rule and say, you can't pray. So now notice chapter 6. Look if you would very quickly. In verse number 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Why? Because he was being promoted. Because he didn't deserve it. He was a foreigner. But he kept getting promoted. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. No damage would come to the king. And because he was a man of a sweet spirit. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. And that always causes issues when you're a chosen one. But when you're chosen one by God, that makes all the difference. And you'll notice, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. It's not because he bought the king off. It was because of his spirit. We've got to have that spirit. Every wife needs that spirit. Every husband needs that spirit. Every one of us, every child, you need the spirit of Daniel. The spirit that never gets offended. Keep in mind, now let's go back. Daniel's in his comfort zone. He's a teenage boy, maybe 14, 15, 16. And he's somebody, but he's fallen in love with the Lord and he's purposed in his heart. And all of a sudden the Babylonians come in and just lower everything and take him captive. And he perhaps sees his own family slaughtered in front of him. And he could ask the question, Lord, why did you let that happen? But he doesn't. And he says, I'm purposing in my heart to please the Lord. So then they take him to Babylon. And they try to twist with his mind. We're going to provide you 2 years of the best food there is. We're going to provide you with the best schools. And he says, would you mind if I just have vegetables and water? What? Look at that filet over there. Look at that roast duck over there. No, no. Look at that fowl over there. No. I don't want to eat anything of meat because it's been offered to idols. So he was relegated to vegetables and water for 2 years. Why? He purposed in his heart. He wanted to be clean. Would you pay that kind of a price? Trouble, he watched his family slain. Trouble, now he's got to eat vegetables. I mean, broccoli, cauliflower. I don't know if he had to eat that. But he had vegetables. I don't know what they had over there in vegetables. But there's just only so many vegetables on earth. And not many of them are good. Oh, well, I know what I'm saying. I mean, I love corn on the cob. How many of you like corn on the cob? Oh, now I like corn on the cob. But I don't know if they had that there. Maybe they did. But you can't eat corn on the cob 24/7. You realize they didn't even have ice cream then. I don't know how they made it. I don't know how they lived. Do you understand? Daniel, as a young boy, sees his parents killed. He's taken captive. And it doesn't embitter him. His name is changed. It doesn't embitter him. He's put in a school and tried to twist his mind that there is no God but Nebuchadnezzar. It doesn't change him. Nothing affects Daniel. Sweet spirit, trust in the Lord. I'm nobody without the Lord. And everybody sees it. And it made all the presidents and princes, 122 of them, bitter toward Daniel. And so then they get the law changed. Now go back over to chapter 6. Notice if you would, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. You know what? They tried to find some area where they could blame him. Some math mistake he made. He's stealing money. Some area where he took a kickback. And notice what it says concerning Daniel, concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. He was perfect. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error. And the word error, Hebrew word, is there's neglect or failure to do what you ought to do. He had no errors. He didn't procrastinate and not do things you're supposed to do. He had no errors. This is not his life. This is his work ethic. He had every report in on time. He had done everything the way it was supposed to be done. And everything was matched and everything was great. There was no error nor fault in him. The word fault, Hebrew word for corruption. There was no one that could buy him off. He was real. And so all this time they watched Daniel and they say, there's got to be something wrong with him. And then they figured it out. They said, he is so, number one, decided to please the Lord. Number two, he discharged all of his difficulties. But number three, he devoted his life and delighted his heart in pleasing the Lord. It was nothing he wouldn't do for the Lord in his devotion to the Lord. So you'll notice he was faithful in verse 4. Now you'll notice with me, if you would, in verse 22. He says this, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. Now I want you to notice this word, innocency. It's a sincerity that causes you to be clean. There's nothing in your life. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1. And I'd like to see probably the closest word to it in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1. This is when we're devoted to the Lord and we delight in him. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. And this I pray, this is Philippians 1:9. That your love may abound. So we know that Daniel had a great love for the Lord. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Daniel was great with decision making. And notice that you may, here it is, approve. Make a decision. That the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, and that's the word I want you to see, and without offense, okay, till the day of Christ. So those two words, he says, sincere without offense. The word sincere is two Greek words put together, which one is the son and the other is judge. So Innocency is whenever you say, Lord, you judge me. Is there anything in my life I want to be clean? Innocent. There's no plans to do anything wrong, and there was nothing that I did wrong that I haven't told you I'm sorry for, and I've corrected it. And there's nothing between you and I. I'm innocent. So Daniel said, when they threw me in the lion's den, God saw me as innocent. They saw Daniel as innocent. There was no fault in him. There was nothing that lingered. He wasn't perfect. He just corrected each thing in his life. If he got bitter, he corrected. If he lusted, he tried to correct it. If he was covetous, he tried to correct it. If he lost his temper, he tried to correct it. Everything in his life, he tried to correct. So that people saw him and said, how can you do that? Only by the Spirit of God. Because I said, Lord, I'm nothing without you. And Daniel became great. Same work ethic, same integrity as anybody in this room. But why? For his sake or for your own? See, humility means that you can't do something without the Lord's help and his strength. Pride says, I can do it without his strength. That's why God hates pride. Does anybody know what the number one sin of the devil was? Isaiah 14:7. Pride has lifted thee up. God wants you not to trust him, to lean upon him. So Daniel says, okay, look, in my devotion, I've decided to just devote my life to you, and I'll do, add, or change anything you want me to do. And Lord, I'll not only do it, I'll do it with joy. I'll delight in you. So Daniel has this effervescent spirit, a cheerful personality, an excellent spirit. For heaven's sake. I guarantee you there were days that Daniel got out of bed and said, I don't feel like being cheerful today. But he said, I represent the King of Kings. Get on my happy face. Get on my happy spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, will you help me? I can't do this myself. And so every day of Daniel's life, God used it, him, lifted him up, and he got promoted, and he kept getting promoted, and he kept getting promoted. And everybody was jealous of him and says, what has he got? What is the difference? Why does he keep getting promoted? I'm doing the same things. The difference is our God's blessing. That's what I want for you. And it's right here. His spirit was so sweet, and his joy, his heart was so tender, and he had a humility about him that he didn't, if you ask him to do anything, he would chip in and do it. But he just said, I have to pray about it first. This is just Daniel. And he was so devoted to the Lord that he couldn't go a few hours without talking to the Lord. He was so close to the Lord. And I think this is probably the one ingredient right after humility that we miss. If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting. In verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. I talked to the Lord. I poured out my heart and I asked him my favor. I asked him, Lord, what's going to happen to Israel? He was burdened for his country. Devotion causes us to set our face to the Lord. It causes us. Now you notice the word here, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is by asking. Supplication is by a broken asking. It's by, Lord, I can't do it without you. There's a passion in supplication that's not in prayer. If I could give you an example, you know, honey, would you get me a cup of water, or would you get me a this or that? And so you look at your wife and say, or your husband, and you say, honey, would you mind giving me a cup of water? And her husband says, okay, it's just a simple request. And then there's sometimes, oh, you come in from work or you come in from the yard and you've been outside. It's in Texas. It's 101. Humidity's 98% and you don't have any fluids left. You walk in. Your brother may say, honey, can you get me some water? That's supplication. When you're desperate. Prayer, supplication. And he added one more thing. He said, Lord, this is so important. I just can't eat till you answer. Fasting. There's very few Christians like this. Verse 20. Devoted to the Lord and delighting in it. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins. By the way, what you don't realize is between verse number 3 and verse number 20, there was some time went by. 21 days. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen the vision at the beginning, being called swiftly to fly, touched me about the time of evening oblation, sacrifice, and he informed me and taught with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Do you know what he said? Daniel got on his knees and fasted and prayed and supplicated, and God sent Gabriel to answer his question. But he had to pray for 20-something days. He was determined. There was a devotion in Daniel's heart that, folks, we need. There was a delight in the Lord that we need. And you know what the return of that is? You know, when we've decided to do what's right, we've decided to trust the Lord, you're my God. We've decided, I've purposed in my heart to do what's right. And whenever we have decided, we've discharged all of our problems to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to leave you the problem that my family's dead. I'm going to leave you the problem that I don't have any friends and they want to kill me because I'm just trying to do what's right. Lord, I'm going to leave my problems to you. I'm getting thrown in the lion's den in a few minutes, Lord. I'll leave that with you. He discharged every problem to the Lord, and it didn't stick in his heart and affect that great spirit. In the end, Lord said this. Read verse 23 with me. One of the greatest verses in Scripture, and I've underlined it for a Christian. For thou art greatly beloved. Could I ask you this? In order to be totally devoted to God, that has got to be one of your goals in life. To be greatly beloved of the Lord. Now, I don't understand, but I know this. For God so loved the world, that's everybody in this room. He loves us all. I know that. But there are some people that are beloved. I dwell with him of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. And I'll lift you up. Are we world changers? The price is pretty heavy. William Borden. Anybody ever heard of Borden milk? That's only going to be white-haired people. Borden milk. Raise your hand. Okay. All older people. Are there any young people ever heard of Borden milk? Borden? Okay. All right. Y'all not young. Okay. All right. Now, so William Borden's parents owned the milk company. He was filthy rich. He gave it all away. But he went to college at Yale. Yale was a Christian college. It started out as a Christian college, like Pensacola, Crown, West Coast. It was a Christian college. Ambassador, same way. Only that it slipped a little bit. So he goes, and he decides he's got his roommate. He says, hey, would you pray with me? And he takes his Bible and he does this. takes his Bible and begins to read a few scriptures, and he reads some promises, and he says, let's pray about those promises be given to us. And they got down and they prayed. And pretty soon, they just talked a little bit, and somebody heard them praying, said, hey, can I join you? And a third guy joined. But they could see there was something sincere. Now, the word sincere is when the light of the sun comes and shines upon you and it opens up every crack and you can feel it. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, that word, alikrinos, is the word that they used to use for furniture salesmen that would take a piece of furniture and he would get wood that's been cracked and he would fill it with wax and he would seal over it so you couldn't tell it. So in order that they get good furniture, they would take that furniture out and sit it in the sun. All the wax would melt. And they could see all the impurities and the cracks in the wood. And they say, you're a shyster. That word, sincere, is for everybody in this room, that the light of Jesus Christ can shine on you. There's no cracks. You're real. That's what he says. You need to be sincere. Daniel was sincere in the light of the sun. William Borden was the same way. He's a young man. He's very wealthy. His graduation gift from high school was a trip around the world. And he took the trip around the world, and because he had a contrite heart, a soft heart, he says, they need the Lord. I'm rich, but there's no one to tell them. And he says, I'm going to go tell them. And so I'm going to surrender. And so he made the devotional decision that I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what the Lord wants. And then he decided, I'm not going to pay any attention. Now, his problem was different than ours. He had money, and everybody wanted to be around him. Or they hated him. So he decided just to stay alone and talk to the Lord and walk with the Lord and be a nobody at Yale. He gets to his roommate, they pray together. Then another guy came, and they sensed the presence of the Lord in that prayer meeting. 5-7 minutes in the morning, but William Borden had the hand of God upon him. Borden's small prayer group gave birth to a movement that spread across the campus. By the end of his freshman year, there were 150 freshmen meeting for a weekly Bible study with William. There's something about him. By the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of the 1,300 at Yale University were praying with Bill Borden. What was the difference? I can do nothing without you. Search me, O God. No cracks. And a sweet spirit. I'm letting nothing interfere with my walk with you. I'll discharge all my troubles to you, Lord. You take care of them. Today, we've got to have some more Bill Bordens. We've got to have some more women with that heart. The Lord is looking for people. What kind of a difference are you making in your life? Are you serving the purpose of God? Everybody here's got one, but it always involves Him. What are you doing for Him? Let's pray this morning. He decided to serve the Lord. He discharged his problems to the Lord. And he devoted and delighted himself in his God. We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Could I get you to come? Maybe you're here today and you'd like to be a part of our church. You've been saved and baptized, but you'd like to come be a part of our church. Or you haven't been baptized, you'd still like to be a part of our church. I'd encourage you to come this morning. Come down to the front, and we'd love to get a chance to tell you thank you for coming. Could I encourage you this morning? Whatever decision you need to make, you do it this morning. Remember, the first step in Daniel's life was to decide. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. We need you. We're nothing without you. Give us some Daniels. Lord, help me to be like Daniel. Help us to be like Daniel. Lord, reach your hand upon this place, Temple Baptist Church, and raise up Daniels everywhere. In your name I pray. Amen.